This past Thursday, I had the privilege of spending part of an afternoon at an event hosted by BOCA, Berkeley Organizing Congregations for Action. Some of you may ask, what is BOCA? Well, in 1999, a multi-ethnic group of Berkeley faith leaders and clergy collectively put their faith in action to establish an interfaith revelation of social justice with the intent to create the beloved community in Berkeley. Out of this collective group of interfaith leaders, BOCA was formed. In the context of BOCA, people of faith step out of their comfort zones, working together to bring healing to our community by helping to reduce violence and create safer neighborhoods, advocating for equitable immigration policies for the undocumented immigrant community, ensuring the homeless in our community have access to social and health services to address their needs, and that all Berkeley residents have health care, accessibility, and healthy food options, as well as many other concerns and issues regarding the well-being of our community. Whenever we wander out of our comfort zone, whenever we venture away from what feels familiar and safe to us, we feel vulnerable and threatened, unsure of where we stand, and feeling as though we are an outsider. Jesus was born into a very specific comfort zone or community. He grew up as a first century Torah observing Jewish male in Israel. In order to keep Jewish faith alive and Hebrew identity strong in such an environment, strict laws separated the people of Israel from all the other peoples who lived among them. The laws of keeping kosher meant an observant Jew could never sit down to eat a meal with a Gentile. Simply to enter the home of someone who was not observant, or in other words, observing all the laws of ritual purity and cleanliness provided for in the Holiness Code, meant instantaneous defilement. One reason tax collectors were outcast and ostracized was because their profession required them to be in constant physical contact with the Gentile Roman rulers. By virtue of their profession, they lived in a continual state of ritual defilement. For first century observant Jews, there were clear outsiders and insiders. The outsiders encompassing any and all who stood outside the people of Israel. This story of the Roman centurion sending word to Jesus through Jewish elders and his subsequent exclamation, "I am not worthy, but only say the word," is simple and yet amazingly complex. The complexity resides in what we might be labeled an interfaith encounter. The cast of characters seem to relish in a certain ambiguity, the even cross-boundary identities. The Roman centurion is friendly to the Jewish people and their faith. He even helped build their synagogue. He obviously has done some favors for them. The Jewish elders, who have as a group shown both support and suspicion of Jesus' ministry, are called upon to approach Jesus and ask for his help on behalf of the centurion. But the centurion also sends a second envoy. The second envoy, however, is only described as his friends. Who were they? Were they more Jewish elders? We don't know. Throughout the Old Testament, there are stories that show how outsiders could engage with and enter into a compassionate, respected relationship with those inside the covenant community. Over and over throughout the Old Testament, the use of people from the outside seems God's favorite way to get God's people back on track. Jesus was always wandering off to the wrong side of the tracks. He touched and healed lepers and women and madmen. And in today's text, Jesus declared that a Roman centurion possessed a greater faith than any he had found within all Israel. The ultimate outsider, a Gentile Roman soldier, the occupier, was proclaimed to be more faithful than those on the inside. The centurion trusted Jesus enough to just say the word, and there would be healing. The truth is, in spite of all his tribal and Torah-based identity, Jesus was without boundaries. You might say he was the ultimate outsider. Birds have their nests, foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man intentionally and continually meandered across all the lines that separated people. Jesus had no home ground, or more precisely, Jesus made all ground holy ground and home ground. It seems our faith connects our faithful following of Jesus by calling us to go out into the world and not stay safe and sound in our comfort zone. It means that we eagerly go into those places and encounter those people considered outside our neighborhood, our nationhood. Learning from the world and then, on the basis of that experience of learning, finding the best way to offer Christ's compassion and healing to the world. And so a dialogue becomes possible between faith communities in the midst of the world's brokenness, a dialogue that is rooted not in maintaining established identities, but in being attentive to the cry coming from the victimized. This interfaith dialogue does not have as its goal a mega religion or a dismissal of what is unique to particular faith expressions. Living reconciled implies, first of all, walking a path together toward ever deeper human solidarity. This reconciliation heals the brokenness, physical, mental, and spiritual. God works across boundaries. In the first century, for the first Christians, this meant crossing the boundaries that divided Jews from Gentiles. In the 21st century, for 21st century Christians, this means collaborating with other faith communities and agencies and engaging the world, especially those on the margins, with Christ's healing word. Faith propels communities and people forward onto paths untrodden, into places unheard of, across culturally and religiously imposed boundaries. And in that movement, faith is also discovered, the faith of others. And together, ways of reconciliation and peace are created. The world, no matter how unconnected or unconcerned with Christ that it may seem, is never the outside for Jesus' disciples. The centurion has heard that Jesus has a power, even over death. A power, by the way, that the centurion does not possess. The centurion's only reference is one of power. And so the centurion is clear about what discipline and obedience means in his realm. People obey his orders. The centurion exercised enormous power. He knew its efficacy. Yet in this situation, confronted with the illness of his servant and the violence of death, he was powerless. The centurion summons the Jewish elders as he summons his soldiers. He sends them to Jesus, asking that Jesus come and heal. There is no middle ground. It is not an invitation to come and dine, to come and take a look, to come and see what might be done, but to come and heal. And Jesus surprisingly obeys. He sets out on the road toward boundary crossings and ritual impurity. But on his way, another word comes from the centurion. I am not worthy. Do not come to my house. Only say the word. And again, perhaps even more surprisingly, Jesus obeys the centurion. The radical, shocking part of this story is that the Son of God, even without physically crossing any boundaries, has allowed himself to be shaped, to be ordered by the word of a Gentile. This obedience on Jesus's part has far deeper consequences than if he simply crossed the threshold of the centurion's house. God's self listens to the cry from the outsider, even in the form of a command, and changes his itinerary. In today's text, Jesus willingly walked towards a situation that would have jeopardized his standing as an observant Jew. But the Roman centurion's assertion of Jesus' power and authority stripped away that problem. In fact, instead of bringing Jesus down, the unclean centurion elevated Christ to a new level. The just say the word testimony of one from the outside put Jesus on a road that would transform the world. The Roman centurion is but one of a long line of just say the word characters who step forth in faith to change the world. Where are the Isaiahs who will let angels carry them to rooms of glory where, with lips kissed by burning coals, say, "Here am I, send me"? Where are the Marys who will walk beyond the boundaries of comprehension to unknown territories of total trust and say, "Let it be"? Where, oh, where are the centurions who will have enough faith to cross the religious and cultural boundaries and be, just say the word, disciples?